One interesting point or counterpoint to this. So I think we skipped. Yeah. There we go. One advantage to filing an appeal early versus an RCE is the patent term adjustment impacts. And patent term adjustment could be a whole nother program that we won't go into. But there was a recent Federal Circuit decision where the applicant was in an unfortunate situation of having multiple times where they filed an appeal brief and then the examiner kept reopening prosecution. The patent was awarded a lot of PTA for all of this delay, but did not recoup the entire period because before the first appeal brief, there had been an RCE. So when you file an RCE instead of an appeal, that does stop the clock for one type of patent term adjustment. So if you are on the fence of whether you should file an RCE or appeal, and PTA is important to this for this patent, that's one thing that might nudge you in the direction of an earlier appeal, especially now with the dependency is so reasonable, and even could be faster if you expedited your appeal. So the next slide. The last thing to think about before we'll go into more strategies for the briefing is whether you should file a request for pre-appeal brief review. Again, importantly, this is something that's reviewed in the examining core, not at the board. So if it's not successful, it's not like a preliminary strike against you already. But I still think it has limited times that it's successful, mostly if there's ideally one or maybe a few clear-cut issues, more along the lines of a 102 rejection with a missing element than a 103 rejection where there might be judgment calls being made. The pre-appeal conference is not going to overrule the examiner on a judgment call if it's valid. Next slide. Okay, so now we'll start discussing what probably most people are interested in hearing about, which are appeal brief strategies. The first slide just gives some ideas for technical suggestions to make sure your appeal brief doesn't get bounced and that it's easy to read. Although I do know APJs have emphasized that the use of separate headings can be helpful. So let's just go to the next slide.
I'll elaborate on that. Yes, I certainly do find good descriptive headings in any kind of headings very helpful. An organized brief that allows me to move through it quicker, that's good for me. If they are very descriptive titles, that really helps me hone in on what your argument is just by looking at the title. So I would commend people to thinking about that.
Great. And the next slide is really where you have to start thinking about your audiences. So the idea on appeal is showing the board the errors and the rejections that they can reverse. And this slide lists different types of errors. There may be one, there may be several. And this is where you really want to frame your argument for the board versus the examiner, even though at the same time, you know that the examiner may also be an audience for it.
Yeah, just to reiterate my earlier point, the board is not an extension of prosecution. And what we're looking for is, in the first instance, we're not looking at patentability like the examiner is. We are looking at the examiner's rejection and looking for the appellant to point out what is that error. So you do have two different audiences again, but when you get to the board, quickly, concisely, clearly point out what is that error in the rejection. That's what we want to hone in on. And the easier you make it for us, the better it is for your client.
Yeah. And along the lines of making it easy, at least for now, there are no page limits in your ex parte appeal brief. So unlike the the patent trial proceedings. But there are limits to everyone's attention span is something I'm always trying to be considerate of. And also, of course, time. And it really does pay off to focus on your strongest arguments. Of course, you do need to address all rejections to avoid waiver. But, you know, if you think you have five arguments, maybe you should think maybe three are your strongest, or two, or Judge Barrett may say pick your strongest. And it's also really important to not use boilerplate language, especially case summaries that don't align with your facts. So if you're not relying on unexpected results, don't discuss case law about how impactful unexpected results can be.